This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've got Jordan DeJohnny coming up this hour, and then we're going to go over our NFL games to tell you what we like and what we don't like this upcoming weekend. Glad you could join us on Sports Map Radio. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We'll be discussing Thursday night's football game. It is the Minnesota Vikings beat the Steelers, almost blowing a 29-0 lead in doing so. But nevertheless, the Vikings get the win to go to 6-7. And we've been touching on the career of Demaryius Thomas this morning, last night passing away at the age of 33. Amy Dash, who has been on this show, for helping us with sports law, she is saying on Twitter, don't know the accuracy, but saying reports are he suffered a seizure in the shower and he had been suffering seizures for about a year. Don't know if that's the cause of death, but that's the initial report. That's, you know, take it for what it is, coming out on Twitter. But a very, very sad story late last night in Roswell, Georgia, finding Demaryius Thomas in his house dead at the age of 33. Last night, one of the things that did bother me, it bothered me as a Steeler fan, but I think it should bother a lot of people who watch the NFL, was Chase Claypool, who I like as a wide receiver, but being a young guy, you sometimes let youth and excitement get the better of you. And he did last night. He's being very, very heavily criticized this morning for the Steelers' final drive of that game, needing a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie the game, to really complete an amazing comeback. I mean, down 29-0, that is four touchdowns plus. And it's just, that is just nearly impossible to do in the second half. You fall 29-0 early in a game, like two quick turnovers that lead to touchdowns. You got a lot of time to get back. But if you're midway through the third quarter and you need four touchdown drives plus a two-point conversion, you're very unlikely to come back. But the Steelers almost did it. Claypool caught a pass that led to a first down and then decided to get up and do his first down signal with his hands. And while he was doing that, a defensive player for the Vikings was able to get the ball out of his hands, which caused a kind of a delay as the Steelers were lined up for their next play. Precious seconds ticked away. He's being ripped apart for this, and rightfully so. Not really, truly understanding the situation, but trying to get his celebration in. I hope he does learn a lesson from this. Most players do when they do something stupid like that, setting up a celebration rather than the job at hand. But we shall see. Because emotions get the best of us all the time, but in that case, it costs the Steelers some precious seconds.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh! Thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Sports Map Radio. Find us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Jordan DeJohnny, CBS Sports, is going to join us in a bit. We will talk to him about the upcoming NFL. We'll just kind of go around the league a little bit, especially Thursday night's game with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, I said earlier it was must win, but, you know, it wasn't really must win. I don't like to really necessarily use that term, but can't help themselves. All right, it's time as we go around the NFL to give you our thoughts on the games at hand and whether or not they are kind of worth your time or not. Are you ready, Mr. Culver? Let's get started. Carolina is where we're going to go. The Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers are going to match up in an NFC South battle. Both teams at 5-7, but both teams are just not very good. Now, earlier in the week, Carolina fired Joe Brady as their offensive coordinator, which all signs indicate Matt Rhule is a little bit nervous about exactly where his job status is.
Yeah.
Buying that? I'm buying that.
I'm buying it.
I don't think this is working. How many quarterbacks are they going to go through before they find one that works?
Well, right? I mean, you know, Joe Brady was the quarterback guru for LSU.
Guru. That's right.
Now so, it's starting. I don't know. Maybe it was more Joe Burrow than Brady. I'm not sure.
I told you guys, no one believes me. Joe Burrow went to the crossroads and made a deal with the devil and all of a sudden could play quarterback at the next level. That's how it worked.
Okay.
He couldn't play a lick, went down to the crossroads, got a deal like just like Robert Johnson, the blues player, Bam! Excellent quarterback.
And by Crossroads, he went to what, Death Valley?
That's probably where. Went up the road to Mississippi to the Crossroads. Again, like Robert Johnson. Look up that story. You'll know what I'm talking about. But Brady got the credit for that and parlayed that into an NFL job he is just not qualified for. Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton coming back, P.J. Walker. How many do you need? Both teams 5-7. Both teams are just blech.
I also feel on the flip side of it, on the Falcons side of it, Matt Ryan, I think, is just mailing in the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? It's like, if you're 5-7, there's still an outside chance, blah, blah, blah.
Of course there is.
But, you know, it's like, well, give me a break. I don't know what to do with this. All right, how about the Ravens and the Browns? They played the worst, sloppiest football game not that long ago. But the Ravens really going to have to bounce back a bit. I want a solid game from the Ravens. There's a chance for them to get this number one seed. I want a solid game from them. The Browns absolutely need to win this one. All right, again, I don't like using must win, but you're 6-6. You got to get out of that hole, and you got to separate yourself a bit.
Oh, we're getting to that point where it is a must win. And for the Browns, I think it is. I think you're absolutely right. It's a must win.
The Browns have really shown nothing this year.
Because it's not only just to get them back into the playoff hunt, it's kind of to change America's mind about them again.
Yeah, again.
We're reverting to that old thing of what the Browns used to be for us. Like, you know, just the Browns. This is how they play.
It's too bad, too, because you feel like there is just this cloud that hovered over the team for so long that felt like it was maybe removed a bit, and then the cloud came right back. We don't look at them the same way as we did going into this season. They haven't shown much. They've been a team that has just been back and forth mediocre. Yeah, you better start winning some football games in this very competitive middle pack that is in the AFC. Good game because it's a division rivalry. Good game because both teams need to show something. But overall, it's not an elite game, but it's a very, very important. Jacksonville going to Nashville to take on Tennessee. The Titans have lost back-to-back games. You know why the Houston Texans won that game against Tennessee not that long ago, a couple weeks ago? Because it was raining and the Titans turned the ball over 5 times. Their game against the New England Patriots, the Titans turned the ball over 4 times. That is 9 turnovers in 2 losses. You turn the ball over, you will lose to anybody in this league. Except Jacksonville, because they haven't beaten the Titans at Nashville since 2013, and they stink anyway.
Will this be Trevor Lawrence's coming out party?
Come on, Trevor Lawrence.
This is what I'm thinking, right? This past week, he kind of went against the grain. Stuck up for team against coach.
Right, exactly.
And so this is a different side of Trevor, where maybe he's not buying into Urban Meyer, where, I don't know. I mean, is Urban Meyer trying to sabotage us now? Because Trevor Lawrence had no problem speaking up for James Robinson after Robinson was benched this past weekend.
No, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So now I'm curious. I mean, you know.
See what Urban Meyer said about that when they asked him about Robinson? He goes, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. he's trying to get fired. He doesn't want to be there anymore. Yeah. He's going to go at the end of the season and go, listen, man, just fire me.
But why? He won't, all of that money?
I don't think he wants to coach. And I know you say all that money. I don't think he's got enough.
When you quit, when they fire you, if they fire you for cause, you don't get your money.
Well, I know that, but he's made enough money in his life.
Well, then why did he take the job in the first place?
That's the bigger question. And we've been asking that since day one.
If we're thinking he's quitting after 12 games, then why the hell did he take this job in the first place?
I'm thinking he's quitting.
That might be true. That might be true. How about the Raiders and the Chiefs? Kansas City at 8-4. Their defense is still not great, right? Is their defense good?
Who?
Oh, Kansas City.
Which team?
Yeah, which team? I'm sorry about that. Kansas City. Their defense has played better.
They played better, but...
Is it good?
I think it's been more of the offense. I think Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce.
It's ticking up a bit.
I think they're figuring stuff out.
Well, they've held the Broncos to 9 points, the Cowboys to 9 points. We figure that they've turned the corner a bit on the defensive side of the ball. Let's see. But offensively, Patrick Mahomes is getting a bit better, using a little bit more weapons. Now, listen. They are not the Kansas City Chiefs of 2 years ago that won the Super Bowl. They're not the Kansas City Chiefs of last year. But you know what? They've won 5 in a row. They're 8-4. They're finding themselves, and they have a 1-game lead over the Chargers in the division. So every single game from here on out is very important to them. They're not running away with the AFC East, that's for sure. By the way, they play three of their final five games against the division too. So there you go. No, I think this is a good one. I think the Raiders are a team. This is the thing about the Raiders. And this is their record. They're 6-6. You know what that means? They can beat you. They can lose to you. You can beat them. They can beat you. And you never know which Raider team is coming at you. Right? They'll beat you in overtime on Thanksgiving Day, and then they'll lose to Washington. You just don't know what you're going to get with this Raiders team. But that division has been fun because none of the teams are out of it.
Honestly, yeah, I don't think it stops with this game. I think it's going down to the wire. I mean, I think the Chiefs will win. If I was a betting man and I actually did play to earn some money, I would put it on the Chiefs to win. But this is one of those games that I wouldn't bet on even if I was, because you don't know with this division this year.
9.5 points seems like a lot.
The AFC West is so topsy turvy right now. You can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah, exactly. Think about this: the Chiefs are favored by 9.5 points against the Raiders in a very good divisional matchup. The Titans are only favored by 8.5 points in a very weak divisional matchup.
Yeah, well,
right, with a bad Jacksonville team.
That's the Derrick Henry factor right there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, 100%. And the fact that this Titans team right now doesn't know how to control the football. But Chiefs-Raiders, that's a pretty good game.
How about a fun one.
Jets and Saints. Oh, I feel bad for you if you're in the New York area and this is the only game you're getting on your telly.
It's the only game you're getting on your telly.
Right, or whatnot, because the Saints have lost 5 in a row and Taysom Hill can't play quarterback in this league on a consistent level. He can't. He can do the fun things that you like Taysom Hill to do, but he can't play straight up every snap, every play quarterback. They don't have a good backup quarterback. They've lost 5 in a row since starting 5-2. 5-2. And they're now 5-7. And the Jets have been the Jets all season. They've been awful.
Well, I had to look it up because, you know, we play the game every week, the Spiro Dinas game.
Right.
He is not doing Saints-Jets.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's got Jaguars, Titans.
Oh, he did? They gave him that dog of a game? They didn't even let him stay home in the New York area to do this one?
No, that goes to Andrew Catalan, James Lofton, and Sherry Burris.
Do you think these guys can trade when they get their assignments?
They got it. I mean, they got to like make a phone call.
When CBS goes, all right, guys, here's the games we got. Spiro, you're going to Nashville. Titans, Jags. I know we've given you the Jags 4 times already this year, but somebody's got to do it.
And Spiro, you just know him so well.
Yeah, you know him well. You're good. And then he just looks at Andrew Catalan and goes, can we trade crappy games, please? I will owe you big time. If you could just please don't send me to Nashville to do a Jaguars game, please.
Again?
Barbecue's great, but that team stinks. Andrew's like, all right, I'll trade you this game. And then next week, I want, guys, poor Spiro Dinas. I love him, but, man, they got to give my man Spiro more important NFL games.
They do.
Than the crappy ones that he usually gets. Oh, you know what's funny?
I like Spiro. Real quick, too. I'll just let you know real quick. Joe Buck and Troy have the Sunday off.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's a little rare.
Yeah, they did the game yesterday. I think it's because they're still bias.
Maybe so, right? Right?
No, they're like, we don't need you this Sunday.
That's right. By the way, back to Spiro real quick. I like Spiro Dinas so much that sometimes we get they go, we're giving you bonus coverage. And sometimes I hear Spiro's voice and I go, all right.
Yay.
All right. He's getting the kind of attention now.
I know.
You know, he's not in the crappiest game in the league.
He pulled a tough assignment.
He did. All right. Time for one more and then we'll come back with the rest of the schedule. How about the Dallas Cowboys in Washington? This might be the better game of the weekend, by the way. I know it's crazy.
No.
But this might be the better game. There's a couple of good ones, but this might be one of the better ones. Don't sleep on this game. Cowboys are known in December to cough up games like this, right? They always do this. They impress you. They look great. They run the ball good. Dak's playing well. Then they get to December, and it's like, uh-oh.
They forgot
what's happening?
How to play.
Uh-oh. Washington's won 4 straight. Nobody believes in them, quote-unquote.
Yep.
All right? They're home, right? Be careful.
It's a trap month for the Cowboys.
Right, exactly. Dallas has got to close out strong. 8-4. You're not in no driver's seat yet. Be careful, Dallas. Mike McCarthy may have guaranteed a win in this game, but don't just sulk yourself into buying that. Washington could come up and bite you. All right, we'll come back. We'll give you the rest of the NFL schedule, including the big one in Tampa and another one in Cincinnati as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue SportsMap Radio. Hey, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're on a road trip and your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, you take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reparable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, we're going to continue through the rest of the NFL schedule as we're rolling along here on SportsMap Radio, telling you what we like and what we don't like in week number, what were we at, 14? Yeah, 14. Holy cow, it's hard to keep up sometimes. All right, let's go to Houston where the Texans are taking on the Seahawks. Boy, I couldn't care less about this game. I could not care less. I mean, seriously, I can't find another level lower than I care about this game. Like, what is lower in terms of my interest in caring? You know what? I'd rather listen to my neighbor complain about termites in his house than watch Texans-Seattle. I think I'd rather listen to a Karen seriously explain why she's really ticked off and needs to speak to the manager because they forgot her cream in her latte than watch the Texan Seahawks. I think I'd rather listen to a child explain why puppy dogs should go to space than watch the Texans against Seattle. I can't think of anything else that is lower on my list of interest than these two football teams playing a game.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, it's awful.
I mean, at least Spiro Adidas.
This should go announcerless.
They should.
If Fox, the announcing crew that gets sent to this game, they should file a grievance with the National Labor Board.
Are you ready for it?
Yes. Who is it?
Chris Myers and Daryl Johnston.
Chris Myers deserves way better than this crap.
And Daryl Moose Johnston. I think this might be the final game for these guys at Fox.
They should be on the phone with their agents right now demanding that they get a bump in hazard pay.
You were talking earlier.
Lousy game.
You were talking earlier about Spiro Ditas going to Andrew Kettle and saying, hey, you want to trade?
You think
Chris Myers is like, anybody.
And everybody's turning away. They're uncomfortably looking away, trying to don't make eye contact because he'll ask you.
He'll ask you. He'll come right up to you.
Oh my God! The
Seahawks, Texans. You know what? They should have made this the Sunday nighter.
Wouldn't that have been great? That would have been great. The Texans this week. David Culley is like Tyrod Taylor. He stinks. You just play anybody. Don't evaluate. He's awful. This team has been shut out twice. They have been held at double digit in points, I think, six times this season.
You know what's amazing, though?
Unreal how bad this team is.
If you think back to, say, last year at this time, right? And you're when the schedule first came out and you went, ooh, Seahawks, Texans? You mean we're going to get Russell Wilson versus Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% correct. You are right.
That's a Sunday night matchup.
You are correct, Ron Culver. You're correct.
But this version? Eh,
no. Ugh. No. All right, the Broncos are home at 6-6. They're taking on the newly impressive 1-10-1 Lions. I can't wait for the Broncos.
Here's my thought. I would have said the Lions had a good chance in this game. I don't think they do anymore.
Not now. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion on that stadium.
Yeah.
On Sunday, the Broncos again are a team that is going to look back on this season as missed opportunities. They are 6-6. They are definitely not out of the race for that division. Forget wild card. They're in the running for the wild card like anybody else at 6-6. But they are in the running for the division. If the circumstances play right, they have the capacity of winning games. They should win this game. The Lions had their fun beating the Vikings and doing so in a wild finish. But the Broncos should stand pat on this one at home in the altitude. But Denver really has to close the deal on games like this. They have a tendency to get a little creative and sloppy and play down to this level. Don't play down to this level. Eliminate this team quickly. Get that win. Get to 7-6 and make a run in this division towards the end of the season. It's not a bad game. The Lions are fun, and they play hard for Dan Campbell, and the Broncos aren't awesome. Definitely not awesome, but I think the stakes mean a lot for Denver. But let's go to the Chargers, because the same things we're saying about the Chargers, I mean the Broncos, we can say about the Chargers. They're a game back. They're not only a game back, they're very much alive for that division. And they play a Giants team that is going to come in with not their starter, not their backup, but the third string just off the practice squad. We just got him quarterback in Jake Fromm, former Georgia signal caller.
Now, this is second year?
Yeah, I think it's his second year.
I was trying to figure that out yesterday when I saw that, too. I was like, is it his second year? I can't remember.
Remember, he was the guy, when we talked about the draft, he was like, too small, doesn't it? You know, just really not turning into. But anyway, nevertheless, Daniel Jones has a neck strain, and Mike Glennon suffered a concussion last week against Miami. Here's kind of the cool thing about the Giants. They went to Arizona. They worked out this week in Arizona before heading to L.A. You know, that's kind of a fun thing to do when teams kind of get that bonding moment where they find a facility where they could work out in warmer weather. The Giants are not really my concern here. It's the Chargers. The Chargers do this, too, where they sort of win some games and then they lose games. And, you know, that's why they're 7-5. But this AFC West is a great, great battle. It'll be even better if the Chargers win this game and put pressure on Kansas City against the Raiders.
If
that happens, you know. Especially if you know going into this game against the Giants that the Kansas City Chiefs have already lost. That makes it even more interesting.
I almost hope they don't know, because I think if you know that, you don't play to your full potential.
That's kind of true. It's kind of true.
You know, but I mean, these are professionals. They should. But
they should. Somebody will. Somebody knows. Somebody will.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Bengals at home against the 49ers. I think this is a sneaky good game.
I was going about to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that they do some throwbacks to Super Bowls past.
Oh, Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 23?
Because it kind of has that feel to it. I mean, these are two teams that are on the verge of being great.
Kenny Anderson and Joe Montana here at the Pontiac Silverdome. Then it was Joe Montana against Boomer Esiason a few years later in Miami. 7-5 for the Bengals, certainly in the mix for the division. And the 49ers, despite losing to Seattle last week, really turned it up a notch, had won four in a row leading into that game. So they still won four of their last five. They're 4-2 on the road this season, which is very, very impressive. Joe Burrow, 23 touchdowns this year. I think this is one of your better games of the afternoon. It's not the best game of the afternoon because that one is coming up, but don't ignore this one. This one looks pretty good.
Like you said, this one's sneaky good.
It's sneaky good. I think your best game, though, is Buccaneers against the Bills.
My Lord.
Is this written, Romo and Nance?
Oh, yeah,
they got this one.
They got the call, yeah.
Tracy Wolfson.
Do they get first pick?
I think they do.
Does CBS go to them and go, okay, what do you guys want?
I think, when they sit down, they go, well, Jim, here's the best game. You want that? And Jim goes, of course I do. Yeah.
Well,
I'm not messing around. You're sending your number one team, right? I'm the number one guy.
You think you're going to send that Spangelo Dudai guy?
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. No, we are not.
Because I know Jim Nance butchers his name on purpose.
Probably, that's right. Buccaneers 9-3, Bills 7-5. Not a must-win for either team, obviously, but I think the Bills psychologically would be nice if you could beat Brady in some way. 32-5? Come on. It's crazy. That is owning a team. Nevertheless, Bucks are 5-0 at home. Brady, 34 touchdown passes this season. Bills' defense is still good. I know they got run over by the Patriots, but remember, they're only giving up 16 points per game. And this is a Buccaneers team that gives up some points, but they score a ton. So something's got to give. This is a pretty good one. And, of course, Sunday night, the Packers and the Chicago Bears, baby. You talk about owning a team, 22-5 against the Bears all time for Aaron Rodgers, who's 9-3. Bears
at 4-8. How did this stay Sunday night?
That's a great question. Why didn't they move the Bills and Buccaneers to that spot?
Yeah.
CBS wanted to keep that game?
I
think if you're CBS, you go, look, we don't get Brady anymore. Every now and then we can. We don't get him consistently, so we'd like to get him when we can.
I mean, even Bengals 49ers seems like a better game.
I would move Bengals 49ers. Bengals 49ers is more intriguing.
I guess it's just because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's why we're moving it.
Yeah, and Packers are a pretty good national draw. But I would.
Or why not move Monday night game?
Yeah, it's true. Rams and Cardinals.
That's a must watch.
That's a must watch, man. Have the Rams found a groove again? Are the Cardinals really going to roll through? We'll see.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Bounce around the NFL as we get you set for the weekend. Jordan DiGianni joins us, CBS Sports, to talk NFL. How are you, Jordan? Oh, still waiting on Jordan. So we'll get him back. We'll get him on. We'll get him. Oh, hi. How are you, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. All right, last night, a big win for the Minnesota Vikings. What was your takeaway? This is a team that's been in close games a lot. They finally get one where they don't blow the lead. They stand pat. But in the end, I mean, what was the takeaway from the Minnesota side of things?
Well, my takeaway was that I had to wake up early this morning to rewatch the game because I had virtually turned it off in the second half. I thought it was over. But, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were able to engineer this incredible comeback. Now, from the Steelers side of things, you have to give them credit for how they were able to turn it around. But at the same time, you have to wonder, why do they start games so slow? And what is up with the offensive play calling? But as for the Minnesota Vikings, which was your original question, they're addicted to playing in these one-score close games. I think coming into this matchup, 9 of their games have been decided on the final play. They almost made it 10 last night. So this Vikings team, they can't play with a lead. That's very scary when it comes to trying to identify legitimate contenders. Shout-out to Dalvin Cook for the performance he was able to have, and Justin Jefferson's a star as well. But you have to have questions about this defense in terms of their overall consistency, because when you're up, what was it, 29-0, that game should be put away. It shouldn't come down to a potential game-winning drive.
All right, let's go to some games coming up this weekend, and one of the ones we're watching in the NFC East is Washington, because they've won 4 in a row, but they're playing a Cowboys team. And you would think, if you're Washington, all right, I get there is a Taylor Heinicke, no one believes in me angle, but at what point do people start going, maybe they're playing good? What is your analysis of where Washington is?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been watching this team pretty closely over the past couple weeks. In my CBS Sports Picks column this week, I chose Cowboys to cover the spread. But as soon as Mike McCarthy comes out yesterday and says he feels confident in a win, I'm ready to switch my pick. So this Washington team, they haven't been scoring many points. They've been continuing to rack up W's, but they're not scoring points. There's been a true turning of over a new leaf with this defense, even though they're missing important guys like Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I don't know what it is, but all three levels are playing so much better, and it's the reason they've been able to stay in the win column. Taylor Heinicke, he deserves a ton of credit. I mean, he's been consistent with the ball. He only has one interception over the past 4 weeks, I believe. The run game is being incredible. The offensive line is plowing lanes ahead for those runners, also protecting the passer very well. This Washington team, you can't mess around with them. And the Dallas Cowboys have been known to kind of mess around with teams. So expect this to be a very close affair.
The New England Patriots, with their win against Buffalo, they ran the ball 46 times. Mac Jones only had to throw it 3. Get it, the weather conditions. But down the road, especially getting closer into the playoffs and even in the playoffs, are they going to need Mac Jones to win them a game on his own, and is he going to be able to do that?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I don't think we truly learned anything from that Monday night game with the Patriots and the Bills. I thought this was finally going to be an opportunity where Mac Jones was going to have to step up and try to score points in a hurry, which he has to use his arm for. When he has to really shoulder the load and show that he's a franchise quarterback by himself by scoring touchdowns, moving the ball efficiently downfield. Obviously, because of the football weather gods, we did not get that. But it's going to make for an interesting rematch in a couple of weeks when we get to see Mac Jones potentially have to step up and shoulder the load, like I said. That's kind of the one thing I'm waiting to see when it comes to identifying and looking at the Patriots and trying to see where their ceiling might be. I want to see if Mac Jones can kind of put up points on the scoreboard when he doesn't have the backing of a great, consistent defense, when the run game is maybe getting bottled up in the first half. That's the one thing I'm waiting on to see with Mac Jones. That's why it's hard to have the Patriots as a legitimate Super Bowl contender in my mind, although they do hold the number one seed in the AFC currently.
Let's stay in that division, Miami, with three wild card teams now. They've won 5 in a row. How have they won 5 in a row, and are they in a position to get one of those wild cards, or are they just playing a little bit above right now where they really are?
Yeah, I think Tua Tagovailoa has been very consistent with the ball. He's not trying to make any magic happen. He's been consistent in getting the ball into the hands of his playmakers. On top of that, I mean, this defense has really turned over a new page. They're playing incredibly well. I think they really like their quarterback. They got faith in each other as teammates. This Dolphins team is playing really, really well. And right now, they're sitting at, I think, the 13th seed, technically. They're 6-7. They're technically behind teams like the Broncos, Browns, Steelers. But I would anticipate that changes. I think this team is playing really, really good football. Now, I can't talk about them being a legitimate contender, but in my mind, they are a contender for a wild card spot.
Tennessee Titans at 8-4, they get back to work. They're coming off a bye week, but they're also coming off back-to-back losses, combined 9 turnovers in a loss to Houston and New England. Derrick Henry has been out. They've tried to do the running back by committee to try to match the output. But when you don't have a runner like Henry, how has that affected the way this Titans team operates?
That's kind of interesting. I mean, they had 2 100-yard rushers against the Patriots for the last time out. So it shows that they're not ready to abandon the run just yet. And they think they can still find success just with how the offensive line operates. And you can't necessarily disagree. I mean, you're going to have to pass the ball and score points in bunches that way. But they have A.J. Brown out. They have Julio Jones out. Their tight ends have been banged up as well. Ryan Tannehill doesn't have a lot of help. So I think this Sunday is going to be a really interesting game to watch, because on paper, it looks like a legitimate get-right spot for this Titans team, because the Jaguars have just been playing so terribly. But at the same time, this is a team dealing with a lot of injuries. A team that lost to the New York Jets earlier this year. A team that lost to the Houston Texans a couple of weeks ago as well. A lot of people think that the Titans are probably a top 10 team. They obviously are holding off judgment because of the lack of players and lack of depth they have on roster right now due to injury. But I think, much like we saw with the Buccaneers over the past couple of weeks, we're going to see them start to get more talent back to the active roster, and that's when we're going to be able to gauge what this team is capable of.
Jordan DeJohnny joins us, CBS Sports, talking NFL. Arizona Cardinals at 10-2, the best record in the league, 2 games ahead of where the LA Rams are. Those teams will meet on Monday night. Is there really a 2-game separation? How different is Arizona from the teams that are in their division?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would say I would still be holding out hope that the Rams could be better than the Cardinals and have more of a legitimate shot to go all the way in terms of winning a Super Bowl. But, you know, with Matthew Stafford, we saw those reports come out a couple of weeks ago about the myriad of injuries he's dealing with, shoulder, back, knee, elbow, whatever it was. And, you know, he came out against the Packers, and he certainly did not look like himself. Now, give credit to him. He was able to bounce back against Jacksonville. But then again, they're the Jacksonville Jaguars for a reason. So I'm very nervous about this Rams team in terms of their potential moving forward, because if Matthew Stafford's health is limited, that's going to limit your ceiling as a franchise when it comes to the 2021 campaign. Now, I think the Seahawks are obviously out of it. But, I mean, this Cardinals team, I think they're built right. I think that they're a team that is more talented than really any other team in the NFL. But it's interesting, because I don't think I can pick them as my Super Bowl pick, because I think this will be the first season where Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray make it to the playoffs together. This will be their first postseason experience, and you'd rather put your faith in someone like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers when it comes to that conference. But in my mind, this is the Cardinals' division. They're going to win it. They're one of the best teams in the NFL.
All right, and they're kind of the same question with the AFC West, because everybody in that division is playing for a playoff spot, and even some playing for a division. Kansas City has turned things around now with a 5-game win streak. Maybe not the Kansas City Chiefs of old, but what are they doing right now?
They're playing defense. That's the biggest thing. You know, the offense hasn't been that great, but I think we all understand they have the potential to be one of the most explosive attacks in the league. I mean, they're allowing an average of 11.2 points per game over their past 5 contests. This Chiefs defense went from being one of the worst in the NFL to playing average to now playing, dare I say, good. And that's really going to affect this team in terms of what they can be capable of in hoisting the Lombardi Trophy once again. Yeah, you look on paper, this division looks really tight. You got 2 teams at 6-6, the Chargers at 7-5, and then, of course, Kansas City at 8-4. In my mind, the Chiefs have finally turned over a new page. I really do think that this team is legitimate. They're going to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
AFC North, every single one of those teams has issues. Some have serious issues. Who is the favorite in your mind to win this division?
That's a great question. I have no idea at this point. You know, I'd like to say the Baltimore Ravens, but After losing Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson has been playing really poor ball over the past couple of contests. There's a reason they're underdogs heading into Cleveland, who is technically fourth in that division right now. It's just absolutely jumbled. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of the Cincinnati Bengals week in, week out. You know, you have to try to pick your spots when you're going to fade them and when you're going to ride them when you're a betting man. I still don't have faith in the Cleveland Browns in terms of them being a contender. I don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers either. So I think process of elimination, I'm going to have to roll with the Ravens. But I have serious questions about them. I'm not as high on this franchise in terms of their chances of winning a Super Bowl than I was earlier in the season.
Yeah, well said. I think this division has to produce a winner, and it's just too jumbled and too messy right now. Jordan, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the weekend.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
You got it. Jordan Dejani again, CBS Sports on the NFL. He's right about the AFC North. I mean, yes, if the Steelers had won last night, it would have really tightened up the feel of this, especially with that game in hand against the Ravens, who they'll meet again late this season. But you honestly, truly do not know what you're getting right now. Baltimore's playing too sloppy. There's some key injuries on that team. The Bengals are too erratic. They can beat you by 31, and they can lose to the next team on their schedule that they should easily beat. The Steelers are too inconsistent. In the trenches, they're getting beat, and Roethlisberger's trying to bail them out late, but sometimes can't. The Cleveland Browns have just gone back and forth too many times with too many problems as well. Again, somebody's got to win this division, but it's not playing at a higher level that I get, that I feel when I look at some of the teams like in the AFC West, where Kansas City is playing good football. The Chargers have played good football. The Raiders, even though they're 6-6, have some really quality wins. It's a different feel than other divisions. I think the AFC North winner isn't going to be feel like it's a real threat come postseason, at least the way it is right now here in early December. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Denton Day coming up next on SportsMap Radio. Glad you could be with us this morning, and again, coming up this weekend, enjoy all the NFL action. This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. Also, don't forget, on Saturday, the Army-Navy game. It's, you know, one of the biggest rivalries in college football. And it's just a phenomenal spectacle. It is the pageantry of that game is second to none. It really is. I mean, I didn't serve, but I know plenty of people who did, and it's awesome. It's just an awesome spectacle. As many of you know, I spent a lot of time working directly with the Air Force Falcons athletic department, football, stuff, basketball, hockey, etc. So I have a high respect for the military academy, and it's a just looking from an Air Force perspective into Army Navy, you know, Air Force is always kind of like the third team out of the triangle of the military academies of play. There's a Commanders in Chiefs trophy where during football season they all play each other, and Army Navy is obviously, you know, the biggest one because of the rich tradition that game has. But Air Force always looked at and has tried to disrupt the party so that the Army-Navy game wouldn't mean anything, because Air Force would always try to have the Commanders-in-Chiefs trophy in place before Army and Navy would play. But nevertheless, sometimes that Commander-in-Chiefs trophy was up for grabs in the Army-Navy game. Army is a phenomenal running team. They really have just an amazing running game. They're second in the nation in rushing yards per game. So, again, watch it because of the game. Watch it because of the pageantry, because it's very, very special. And it's the real final regular season, if you will, college football game before we get into bowl week, which actually starts this next weekend. So you're going to get a lot of bowl games coming up on your schedule. So again, Army Navy, catch it. One more time, I want to express my condolences on the air to the family of Demaryius Thomas, and just what a sad bit of news it was late last night and early this morning that at 33 years old, Demaryius Thomas had passed away. It is now being reported more and more that it was a seizure. And he has left us way, way too early. He was finished up his NFL career after 10 seasons, drafted in the first round by the Denver Broncos in 2010. In June of 2020, he announced his retirement. He played with the Texans. He played with the Jets, but of course, forever remembered as a Bronco. He got two acts in his Broncos career. One in his season playing with second season playing with Tim Tebow, where him and Tebow had that 80-yard touchdown pass in the playoff game against the Steelers, and also teaming up with Peyton Manning as the two of them, along with Emmanuel Sanders and others, but mostly two of them, really exploded offensively in the NFL. But he always had some injuries, but he is, and this is what I like, I love when the sports media, people that covered him, people that really got to know him, are remembering him for things outside of on-the-field activities. We'll always remember athletes for the reasons that they're in our public life. But when people are saying, Demaryius Thomas, world-class human being, it doesn't matter that he caught footballs for a living. It doesn't matter that he caught one of the greatest touchdown catches, catch and runs in the history of the game. It doesn't matter that he teamed up with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time to guide an amazingly explosive offense. Two Super Bowls, five Pro Bowls. What you are hearing more and more this morning on social media is people saying his smile was electric. His kindness was infectious. The way he saw children and the way he would go to them and try to make them smile and try to make their day, to see young Bronco fans, and he always gave an autograph or he gave time to children. The way he loved his family, fought for his grandmother and his mother who were both in jail. He loved life. Just the way people are remembering him, it's the way you'd want to be remembered when you pass. That's the way Demaryius Thomas is being remembered today. The good things that make a person good, not just because he caught football passes, because he caught football passes being an outstanding human being. All right, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Denton Day is coming up as we continue along on Sports Map Radio. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday.